turn with me to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if you'd also take out your outline, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, by the way, happy Father's Day. I didn't get to see all your dads out there. And happy Grandfather's Day, too. All things will go together, doesn't it? A couple of weeks ago, I had seen the Benega guy. We were talking about Mother's Day and Father's Day. And I said, Noel, are you ready? Are you all set for Father's Day? He said, well, I don't plan to go to church. I said, really? I said, why not? He said, well, on Mother's Day, he says, when they go there, they praise all the mothers. He said, but on Father's Day, he said, every time I've gone there, he said, they beat down the fathers. I said, really? He said, yeah, he said, I don't know why that is. And I agree with him, I don't know why that is. I don't know why we raise up the mothers, and rightly so. Scripture does that, and why we beat down the fathers. Well, this morning, you're not going to get beaten down. You're going to hear something from the effective work of God, the effectual working of God's word in your heart to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to challenge all of us as fathers and grandfathers. You see, that's what the Lord wants for each and every one of us. We want to see what God wants and will do through each of us as dads and granddads. But you ladies can listen in too, okay? Because I think it might be something you might want to share too. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Talking about fatherly advice. Now, just a little bit of a background to kind of get the context here. Timothy was probably a young teenager, maybe about 15, 16, or 17, in that area, if you will. Came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. His father was probably a Gentile, probably a non-believer, and by this particular time in his life, his father probably had passed away. But his mother and grandmother were firm believers in God and came to know Jesus Christ, their Messiah. And through that ministry of Paul and that evangelistic team that Paul was with, they heard the gospel. They said, yes, this Jesus, the Son of David, Son of God, this Jesus is the Messiah that we've been waiting for, that we've been praying for, that we've been anticipating his coming, just as God had promised. And this Jesus, we understand, he died for our sins and he rose again from the grave to give forgiveness and to give the gift of eternal life. And so it was in that first encounter with the gospel that they came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and Timothy along with that. And apparently because Timothy's dad was no longer in the household, either dead or had left, Paul became, if you will, a spiritual father to Timothy. And we see that in his writings in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, that love that Paul had for this young convert in Christ. And as he was being discipled and mentored by Paul, Timothy became ultimately a pastor and a functioning leader within the body of Christ's church there in Ephesus. But here, if you will, in chapter 2, we see some advice. And he starts out with these words, "You then, my child." That was the kind of relationship that Paul had with Timothy. And I'm sure that Timothy recognized that and felt the same way too, that Paul was his spiritual father. That he could go and speak to Paul and seek counsel and advice. That he could be discipled and mentored by Paul with surety, with truthfulness, with faithfulness. And so we have these words here. We want to take a look, if you will, the fatherly advice that he gives. He first of all starts with things to know and that we can pass on as dads. But really, the truth of the matter is these are truths that we can, even as men and women, if you will, individuals, we can pass on. We can pass on to our children, our grandchildren. We can pass on to other members in our family. But beyond the scope of our family, too, we can pass on to our friends. We can pass on to even those who God brings into contact with our lives. But because this is Father's Day, we're going to call it fatherly advice, okay? And so taking a look at if you will, verses 1 through 7, things to know and pass on. First of all, in verses, first couple of verses here, if you will, verses 1 and 2, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Indeed, in the context of Paul's letter to Timothy, now as a young pastor, he wanted to give him encouragement. But the inference here, if you will, in verses 1 and 2, as a fatherly advice, is to choose your friends and associates wisely. You know, that's good counsel, that's good advice that dads and granddads can give to their children. Choose your friends and associates wisely. It's important that we have good connections. Not to get ahead in the world, but good connections for the sake of the gospel. Good connections for growing in grace and the knowledge of God. So Paul says, I want you to choose wisely, men, your friends and your associates. We have the same principle, if you will, when Paul is expressing that same thought and inference, if you will, choosing friends and associates wisely. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. The same thought that's expressed, where he says, flee youthful passions. You can see that loving fatherly advice. Timothy, I don't want you getting wound up in these sinful passions and desires. You want flee those youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace. And then notice it at the end there, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We need to encourage our sons and daughters, our grandsons and granddaughters, to be choosing their friends and associates wisely. There's some clear instructions in the Word of God to do that, like if you will, in the book of Proverbs as well. In fact, Paul, later on to the believers in Corinth, he says, be not deceived, bad company ruins good morals. We see that. I've seen that in my own life too. Maybe you've seen it in your life. So sometimes from experience, coupled with the Word of God, and we say, yes, okay, this is why God is warning me to choose my friends and associates wisely. This is why God wants me to also give that godly advice to my sons and daughters, to my grandsons and granddaughters. Let's go on, if you will. Notice if you, as we continue on here, in the following verse, in verse 3 and 4, He begins to use some metaphors or some pictures here, illustrations. So the first one he uses is the illustration of a soldier in military life. A share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And he's saying the one who enlisted you, Timothy, is the Lord Jesus Christ, as he has enlisted all born-again believers into the army of God, if you will, into the forces that God is using for good, if you will, to bring people to hear the gospel. But the thing that is, I think Paul is giving by way of advice to Timothy, life is hard. Life is hard, but the Lord will strengthen you. Many young people today, I don't think they're really being equipped for disappointments in life. I don't believe they're being well equipped for hardships in life. Do you sense that also? You know, it's like everything's entitled. No, life is hard. I don't think the young people today are being equipped for the suffering that is in life. And there is suffering. There are challenges too. And I think part of the advice that Paul is giving to Timothy, his child, his son, that life is hard, but Christ will strengthen. Let's take a look at some of the verses, if you will, associated with that from elsewhere in the Word of God. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, Paul says. Again, in 1 Timothy, he says, I thank Him, meaning Christ, who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, life is hard, but Christ gives strength for you and I to face the hardships, face the challenges. And you know, as dads and granddads, we can give that good counsel, can't we? We can give that good advice because, you know, our children and our grandchildren, They're going to face the hardships of life as well. This idea that you receive Christ into your life and heart, and that everything's going to be happy, and everything's going to be a picnic in life, that isn't the way it is. In fact, sometimes things get more difficult, don't they? As you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because He commands us and He desires us and He directs us to do things sometimes that are contrary to our own nature. And oftentimes it is contrary. And so we need to do those things in obedience to Him, like a good soldier, being focused and obedient. And so this is good counsel that we can give, like Paul gave, okay? Life is hard, but the Lord strengthens. There's something else that is also taught in here, yet with another illustration. The illustration here is that of an athlete. Take a look at verse 5. And an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. What Paul is saying, not only that life is hard and Christ will strengthen, but here he's saying life has rules. We're seeing more and more, if you will, I want to do it my way. You know, in fact, there was a song like that. I know, I'm going to do it my way. But it seems to be so inherent, if you will, to the sinful nature. It's inherent to all of us to do it our way. But life has rules, doesn't it? There's a theological movement going right into the churches today. It used to be just the liberal mainline churches that would deny the miracles of Christ, that would deny even His deity. But now there's a progressive movement that's entering into evangelical churches, conservative churches. And they're saying, you know, yes, you have the Word of God, but we also have things that are going on in our society. Somewhere we have to find a middle ground. It's okay if you want to just live together. It's okay if you have a same-sex marriage. It's okay if you have an abortion. The list goes on, and I don't want to major on the list, but the advice and the counsel of Paul is saying, life has rules. You and I know that. And unfortunately, we see in our society, in our culture, that, you know, there are people that are saying, you know, your rules don't apply to me. I have the rules of my own. I don't believe there's an absolute truth. Truth for me is what I say is true. But wait a second. That's not how God has intended and designed it to be. And so Paul gives good counsel to Timothy. Not only is life hard, but life also has rules. Because there are given laws in creation that are not just physical laws, but moral laws too. What we sow, we reap, right? I mean, if you sow corn, you don't get wheat, do you? Oh, no! You sow corn, you get what? Come on! You get corn, you sow wheat, you get what? Wheat! You sow sins, and you get consequences too, and the harvest. So life has rules. It's something we need to pass on. We need to pass on and make sure that our young people, our sons and daughters, our grandsons and granddaughters realize that the foundation of those rules for life is God's truth, God's Word. And God's Word works. Aren't you glad? Boy, I sure am. So Paul uses that picture of, if you will, the athlete. Take a look at some of the verses that that are associated with that. And part of the new covenant, that we pray our children, our sons and daughters, and our grandsons and granddaughters. Some of you have great sons, great grandsons and great granddaughters too. And we pray that they come into, if you will, that relationship with Jesus Christ, that personal relationship, so they are also participants in the new covenant. Notice part of the new covenant is this in Ezekiel chapter 36. And I will put my spirit within them and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Because why? Life has rules. It really does. And our young people need to hear that. They also need to see that too. That we're also bringing our lives in the context, if you will, and conformity to the rules that God has for us. But not only is life hard and life has rules, but the Lord will guide us and strengthen us, but life takes work. Amen? And no free lunches. Life takes work. But the Lord rewards that work. He really does. Take a look, if you will, at verse 6, there in your outline. It is It is a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of his crops. He's saying there's a reward for your labors. Be not weary in well-doing, for the Lord rewards. Take a look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. You know, those good works are rewarded by our Savior. Life takes work. If God is not unjust, he will not forget your work and the love you have shown him, and as you have helped his people and continue to help them. God will never, never forget that. He will reward those efforts at work, those works of faith, those works of love. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he what? He rewards those who earnestly seek him. Yeah. Yes. Life is hard. But God strengthens. Life has rules. But the Lord leads and guides. He uses his word in our hearts. But also, life takes work, but the Lord rewards. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Behold, I am coming, says the Lord Jesus Christ there in Revelation. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Then, at the close of this section of advice, and there's more to come, but at the close of this section of advice, where life is hard, yes, and life has rules, and life takes work, he says to Timothy, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. He's saying, and we as fathers and grandfathers can say, think over these things. The word in the grammar there is, keep them in mind before you, that you can do them accordingly. Think them in your mind. Keep them in your mind before you, so that you can fulfill them accordingly. God will give you the strength for the hardships of life. And God will give you the guidance and the instructions for the rules of life. Yes. And aside from it being hard, and there are rules, God will reward you in the works that you do. That's good advice. That's a positive advice that our young people need to hear, our family. But then take a look, if you will, because Paul doesn't, out of his love and his concern for Timothy, he doesn't stop there about thinking these things and passing them on, if you will, but things to remember and pass on also. Take a look at verses 8 through 10. 8 through 10. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, and offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. So Paul says the things to remember to pass on from verse 8. It says, the gospel and its power through Christ will change lives. And so what he's saying is, Timothy, I want you to remember this, and I want you to pass it on. I want you to remember and pass on the fact that God's gospel is the very power of God, and it does change lives. Timothy is changing your life. And our heart's desire and our heart's prayer before the throne of grace is that we see that gospel change in the lives of our children. Amen?
Amen.
And we see that gospel change in the lives of our grandsons and granddaughters. And some of you have great-grandchildren too. And isn't it also your delight to see every one of them come to realize the power of the gospel in their lives? And so as Paul is encouraging, and he's trying to strengthen Timothy in his journey too, in his walk with the Lord, he says, remember these things. Remember the gospel and his power through Christ will change lives. Take a look, if you will, in Romans chapter 1. You have it before you. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says. And he could say that anywhere, wherever he went, whether it be in Rome, whether it be in Ephesus, whether it be in Colossae, wherever it may be. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He even said that in prison before his very guards. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks, meaning the Gentiles, if you will. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, or faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, I want you to remember this, and I want you to pass it on, that the gospel has the power of God to change lives. But also take a look at verse 9. And for which I am also suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. And he's saying, Timothy, I want you to remember this too, that the word of God is unstoppable. It's not chained. I may be chained in this Roman prison right now, this moment, but I'm here for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel, but I also want you to know, and I want you to remember, that God's word is not changed. It's not bound. Take a look, if you will, at some of the verses here. In Acts, we see, if you will, the unbounded word of God, just magnifying the name of Jesus Christ and crossing, if you will, national boundaries, crossing cultural boundaries, crossing social boundaries, because it's not bound. Take a look, and the word of God increased and multiplied. You couldn't hold it back. You couldn't stop it. Take a look at Acts 13, verses 48 through 49. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. The word is unstoppable. It's unbound. It's not chained. And you and I have that privilege too to help in that ministry of sending the word of God over to North Korea. Think of that. And then we're only just one church of many churches around North America. And I would imagine this is also being appealed, if you will, to churches in Europe and South America. Would they be a part of it? Why? Because the word of God is not shackled. It's not bound. It's unstoppable. Think of the boys and girls, and think of the men and women who'll be reading God's word and the effectual working of God's word in their hearts and mind. And that's what Timothy what Paul is giving to Timothy as fatherly advice. Remember the unstoppable word of God. It works. Then also, if you will, the best is yet to come. And that's good advice. That's good counsel to us, for us to share with our sons and daughters and our grandsons and granddaughters too, that the best is yet to come. It ain't heaven yet. You and I know that, don't we? Take a look, if you will. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And Paul is reminding Timothy, and through this letter and through his proclamation of the gospel, reminds all of us that the best is yet to come. We're going to be in the glorified presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. We will see him just as he is, and we will be like him. Yes. So Paul is saying, you know, think on these things and make them a part of your life. You know, life is hard, life has rules, and life takes work. But I also want you to remember, Timothy, I want you to remember that the gospel is the power of God that changes lives. I want you to remember the unstoppable word of God. I want you to remember also that the best is yet to come. Take a look at those verses there. Dear friends, we are now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, that's Jesus, my Savior. Is that your Savior too? I pray he is. When Jesus, our Savior, appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And again, in Revelation, take a look, the best is yet to come. For he will wipe away the tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And Paul's fatherly advice and counsel to Timothy. Remember, the gospel has the power of God to change lives. Remember, the word of God is unstoppable. It's unchained, unbounded. Remember that the best is yet to come. Dad, that's great advice and counsel that you and I can give to our sons and daughters. Amen. That's great advice and counsel that we can give to our grandkids. Something else. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. These things to know and pass on. These things to remember and pass on. Never also, please, never underestimate the power of a good example and its rewards. Paul says here in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul could say that. He was an example. So he was encouraging Timothy to think of these things. Yes, yes, life is hard. Life has rules. Life is work. But also remember these things. The gospel is the power of God that changes lives. God's word works, and it's unstoppable. It's unbound. And Timothy also remembered the best is yet to come. But you see, Paul could say that and give that advice because he also knew the power of an example. Was Paul perfect? Absolutely not. Like every one of us, as dads, as granddads, as individuals. But God is at work in the lives of his children, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Amen. Look what he says here. I fought the good fight. The word there could also be translated the noble fight, for it is a noble fight for the one who leads us. It's his battle, and it's his victory, it's his triumph. And you and I are part of that in participation together with him. Clothed in the armor of God, standing firm in Jesus Christ. Yes, against the world that wants to push us into its fold. Stand firm in Jesus Christ. Paul says, I fought the good fight. Stand firm in the armor of God against Satan as he hurls those fiery darts against you. Use that armor. Use that sword, the word of God. Stand firm. I have fought the good fight. Stand firm against our own fleshly desires that are against the will of God. For you and I have, just like our sons and daughters and our grandsons and granddaughters, we have three enemies that so want to corrupt, and destroy our lives. We have Satan, our adversary. We have the world that wants to conform us to its image, not God's image, its image. And we have the power of the flesh, that only through the power of Jesus Christ, you and I can have victory over that, through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I'm finishing the race. Well, I finished the race. Turn with me, you're in 2 Timothy, turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Finishing the race well. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, before every one of us, individually, men and women, boys and girls in Christ Jesus, but especially on Father's Day, for us as dads and granddads. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He finished well. He will enable you and I to finish well. Don't ever underestimate the power of a good example in the lives of your children, before them, fighting the good fight, finishing the race well. And then he says here, come back if you will to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have kept the faith. What is he saying is, I have maintained my personal walk with Jesus. My personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Because he knows that also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he's saying, for which I suffer also, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me. Paul could say, may we by the grace of God could also say that. I fought a good fight. I finished well. I ran that race. I've kept the faith. This is not to beat us up, brothers in Christ. This is to challenge and encourage us that we can do those things by the strength of God. For we all have had our failures as parents and even as grandparents. I have. Maybe you have too. But by the grace of God, we can say like Paul, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only me, but also all who have loved his appearing. Sometimes we feel like failures as a parent. Sometimes we feel like failures as even a grandparent. Sometimes we remember also the failure of others. Sometimes we remember the failures of our kids. Do you? Sometimes we remember the failures of others. Let me share with you a story. He played 22 seasons in Major Baseball, made 9,397 stands at the plate, had a .289 career batting average, and drove in 1,208 runs, and had 174 home runs to his credit, and earned a nearly perfect fielding percentage, .991. Almost perfect. Nevertheless, Billy Buckner is remembered for his one error in Game 6 of the 1986 World Series when a slow rolling grounder went between his legs. The game was tied at that point in the 10th inning, so even if he made that play, there's no guarantee that the Red Sox would have won. But they blew the third run lead. They blew a third run lead in Game 7, which was heavily favored for the Mets. And even so, that one error remained Buckner's defining mark and was reiterated after his death from dementia on May 27, 2019, just last month. Mookie Wilson was a player who hit the ball that Buckner missed, and he made this point upon learning of his friend's death. We had developed a friendship that lasted well over 30 years. I felt badly for some of the things he went through. Bill was a great, great baseball player whose legacy should not be defined by one play. Life is never fair, and people often defined by one mistake. But by God's grace, all of us can be redefined by one event that erases all our failures. Calvary. Calvary's cross. The cross of Christ. Just as it did for Billy Buckner. His wife Jody said, our hearts are broken, but we are at peace knowing that he is in the arms of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was later on in his life that Billy Buckner came to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You and I, yeah, we have failures, but our failures do not define us. We have failures as dads. We have failures as granddads, but our failures do not define us. What defines us is our faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that faith that you and I have in Jesus Christ, we can remember these things. This advice that Paul is giving to his child, his son, Timothy. We can remember the fact that he has, and pass it on. Yes, life is hard. Life has rules. Sometimes life is unfair. But in all of this, God is there for you, for every one of us. The greatest example that you and I as dads can have is letting Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord, live his life through us. That's the example that I know you want to be. Because you're his. That's the power that I know you want. Because he gives it. That's the effect that you want in your family, and I want in my family. Why? Because God has put that desire in your heart for just that. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for you being our Heavenly Father, our perfect Father, and how you give counsel and advice every day, how you give instructions and commands and direction through your Son, by your Holy Spirit and your Word. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our families. Lord, I thank you for all the dads who are here this morning. I ask for your blessings upon them, Father, in their relationship with their children and their grandchildren. Oh, Heavenly Father, magnify the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in and through those relationships, that indeed we as men in Christ Jesus can say indeed, we fought the good fight. We're finishing the race well. Lord Jesus, you are everything for us. We've kept that faith in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.